acts cold along there, and that is what the white men found out when they came to us. We were using them for cold, and also we used blubber and driftwood. And we used those a lot. And now we've come to the topic of houses, and we want them to construct the houses more securely. And I agree with Roxy Corona that with his suggestion, he says the white people do not know about our climatic conditions here. We do not see the sun at all sometimes in December and January. But in Maryland, the sun is always seen. It can become lower, but it does not disappear. But it turns into night and day. Thank you. My name is Numasak. I would like to say something. We live in an area which freezes. Everything freezes. As far as I can remember, the ground here freezes. We're moving this type of construction that is intended for areas where the climate is warm, and they bring this type of house up to here. We are running into problems right now. They are responding in different ways. We are trying to keep them warm whenever we can, but things are happening to them. People before us made houses without doors, but with covers on them. They had no doors, but they are not cold. I wonder how they were warm. These new houses have doors on them. But they become so cold because the wind is so strong and bitter up here where it freezes. I wonder what type of construction is needed to make these houses much warmer. You can tell houses that have been placed on permafrost. There's plenty of water visible around there. And because of this, we stopped the construction in one house that we started for another person. That is all I would like to relate right now. I would also like to say that there is a house which has not been built by one of the construction workers here, but it is also very drafty. I have done a lot of work on it during the winter, but the heating expense is very high. I've heard that the people with new houses also say that they've got drafty houses. But what kind of house is really the best house for up here? the new houses that they're talking about are constructed for Seattle weather. That is why they are drafty, and that is why they also use a great deal of oil. But is there more insulation placed on them than also the we can alter the housing and probably put more insulation on them. And that is probably as far as we can go now. Thank you for coming and giving us the information and also your complaints about the house. We have 15 minutes more. They have just gone to get the food. I want you to take a break and take a lunch. Okay. I'm a person who just received a new house. I have something to say as well. Concerning the houses that they have talked about complaining about their draftiness, I have been observing the construction in an October Pass. He's from an October Pass. When the foreman does not know what when the foreman is not knowledge about the type of work that he's doing, he's the one to be blamed. And also the people who do not know how to construct or lower floor down are asked to do construction or about the walls of the wall. And the foreman, not knowing his work, just talks to them, tells them how to do it, and leaves them. And that is one thing that I have observed. The white men who are foremen in construction. When the white foreman does not come to instruct them on the construction of the house, and they just lay it anyway, the workers just place the boards anyway on the floor. Even though they're nailing them down, missing the choices or the board, they keep pounding. When they miss the 2x4, it's pretty hard to pound in an air, but when they miss the 2x4, they're probably, the work goes much easier for them. And therefore, the house is not secured down properly. I would scold them sometimes, but these are the laborers who are putting in the insulation. The housing up there probably will not be good. We got our new house during the winter, and when we start walking across the floor without any socks, it is very cold. People who do not know how to put insulation and how to secure the insulation on the house properly should not do that job. But also, but the ones who know how to do that type of work on a house should do it.
All right, we're now going into the afternoon session with questions on the houses at the Utqiagvik site.
the excavations concerning the houses. From under the floor of the old sod house, we have been finding a lot of artifacts, and I have several questions for you of what the artifacts are that we have found. Whoever wants to talk can go up to the front and talk. What things have you been finding? Hunting implements, toys. We have been finding a good supply of these things. We have several questions concerning the artifacts that we have found from under the floors, because they are numerous. Do you know what they are? Can't hear the comments from the audience. There is another house underneath. I have been listening. I have been hearing from people from Point Hope and they tell stories that long ago the earth turned over. And we have heard that several times in legend form, and I have heard this several times. These artifacts are from the earth. I have no other comment beside that explanation. Topic. I have also heard that story of a person's when a person is no longer able to use his utensils and his tools, his relatives store them away when his relatives cannot make any use of them. That was the law, that when a person could no longer use them, they would put them together and store them away. Near Nuvuk, on this side of Nuvuk, there is a person, he is buried with his tools and his hunting implements together with him. My grandparents knew of this, but they do not know where he is buried. They say he was a great chieftain, and since his relatives could not use his implements, they gathered them up, his whaling implements as well, and buried them with him. That was the custom of the people long ago. When the others could not use his instruments, then they were buried with him. This is what I have heard, and my name is Jonah Levitt, and this is probably what you have been finding somebody's hunting implements and tools gathered together and stored, buried with him. I remembered this story, a little lady from Paus in the little area near the, she had an opening on the floor where she'd open it up and she'd have frozen food under the floor. Kulan's mother, whom you remember, she would open the latch on the floor and pick up her frozen food from under the floor. This is Ida Namnik.
Say something. When I think about this I used to see a long time ago, that when people died and they take their stuff, they also take the stuff that they own into their graves. And this is the tradition that they have followed, the Inupiaq people, and that is what they followed. So, I have seen grave sites where people were buried with poles standing out by the grave.
I began to look at them way back in 1920, between 1920 and 30. I have watched as a young child, along with their belongings, people would be with their hunting implements, if they were a man, and with their women, with her jewelry and beads. Old skin that was used to put the body. And before people have come to came around to steal from the grave. I have seen this as a young boy. And when I think about it, a person when he is when he values the tools and equipment that he has, if he does not want to take them from his home on a journey, he can hide them. And this is very possible. So the people thought for themselves long ago, and they stored things away for safekeeping, and possibly they hid them under the floor. They would be That is one possibility. And like us, when we, as we live and we value a possession, we place it in a place where others cannot find it, within our own homes. And this is probably the way the people lived then as well. But there were customs that the Eskimos had then that had to be rigidly followed, and if a person did not follow these customs, he would not live for very long, because they were so rigid. And when a person was buried along with his belongings, the other people would not bother them. They would respect the tradition and leave the tools and implements as they were. That is all I have to say.
We have been listening to the people who said some of the things that they stated, and we have listened to our elders. They used to talk that the world turned once, and now presently, whenever the earth moves, the house is destructed, wherever they may be, in different lands, and in our land too, and it is ever moving on. And when we talk about the land turning and moving, then we find these treasures where they were buried with the house. Nets, men's weapons, women's jewelries, and people who have stored them so that they cannot be stolen. They are saved. And then they talk like this. So, you are a young man growing up, you cannot take this person's property. And don't even touch them. And this is the thing that I heard. And if you have lived in this way, taking other people's, you are working that within yourself. And you will get sick over it if you take other person's property. And this is what I have heard. And if a person tries to listen and obey, even though they have a hard time obeying, then the lifespan will be a little bit longer. And now, if a person talks too much, they treat them different ways. They covered the mouth and made it longer. Oh, they cut it up. And then they tell them to talk because your mouth is longer. And this is what they talked about long time ago, and that's how it should be. And the white man's laws are strong too, and the Inupiaq laws are strong too. And when I listen to this, I have an understanding that our laws are good. And my name is Sivana Namnat. I'd like to say something, because I've heard of this. A long time ago, when a person died, his worldly belongings were put with them. And this is what I've heard, and I'll talk about it. There are many people who have heard of sharpshooting. And this man died, and he was dying, and he told his wife all his belongings should be buried with him. And so when he died, they took him over to the burial site. He went on into another land and married and had children in another land. And so the other children went over and buried and killed him. Whatever worldly belongings they have to be buried with them. This is Nasharnik, Henry Nasharnik. We are from England, and when I grew up, understanding, an old lady came and told me this and talked to me about this. A person, and if you want to grow up good, please do not belittle an older person. You do not belittle their minds so that they are touched. And this is what the old lady told me. If you belittle a person, then you will not go you will not have a longer lifespan. And I have to comfort them and live like that and quit hurting their minds, then I will have a longer lifespan. This is what I am cautious of and listen to. And when I married two men told me this. when I got married. Especially when I started hunting for food. Two men told me, while you're finally together, don't be stingy of food, and we can't keep the meat for ourselves, because the meat will come to us. And so my wife called the older people, the elders, the women and men, and told them to come to their house to eat. And even though we had went through hardships, after that, we've never really had any hardships. And since then, my wife has died. And we have always had a bountiful supply of meat in our house. And these older women would gather to our homes and our older people, and we would feed them. And I would always tell them, go ahead and eat. You'll grow up growing without teeth. And now I don't have teeth anymore, and I'm still alive. I am presently 86, and I am still walking, and I can still talk, and I have listened to the elders talk to me about this. This they have also told me that in the grave site, the burial site that belongs to each person's property, I cannot take any personal belongings from the grave site, especially of the dead people, because from long time ago they have done this as a tradition, that a person's worldly belongings were buried with him, and they should not be taken from him, because they belong to that person who was buried. And when my wife died, I gave her warm bedding. And when I die, I have a bed that's warm. And when they bury me, they will put a pillow on me and a warm bedding and a parka and food and new clothing. I will be buried like my wife was buried. And when I die, I want to be worked on like this, especially with the clothing that I can use, and there's clothes already prepared for me.
I have already prepared meal preparations for my own burial box, and for my grandchildren, I give my money to my grandchildren, to Ayana's daughter. If I die, that she can, the mother, money can be used by them. But do not lament for me, do not mourn for me, crying, since I have been alive when my parents died. Crying, mourning has not come to me, and I do not cry for others, and I don't know why I do not cry, and I thought that I would cry when I lost my spouse. I talked about that, but when I lost my spouse, I did not cry either, but when I think of my wife, then I fall to the ground and mourn. And when I think of my wife, then all of a sudden I fall to the ground and fall while I'm in the tent. When I long to see my wife, all of a sudden I fall backwards, fall on the ground. Even while I am walking around outside, I also fall on the ground all of a sudden. This is what happened. This is all I have to say. This is Elijah Kakinyak. I'm a very old person.
And I will say a little bit about this. A long time ago, our elders their weapons, the ones that aren't Western made, but they're real old traditional weapons. When my friend told me of this,
on the meat caches, there are on top of the meat cache, there's also an old piece of skin. They put all the belongings on there as well. And I would like to relate a short story for further understanding. A long time ago, a while ago, during the spring hall, we had a conference. We have heard in Point Hope a person by the name of Chief Atangarak. 2 years. 2 years passed in Tikirak, in Point Hope, when the shamans when he became 3 years old, the Angat Koksam could not conjure up the animal while he was a young boy, when he was able to take care of himself outside. Then the people, you know, the shamans, they use people. They made the animals scarce. They control the animals since time began. That was their tradition. Then the grandparents of this young boy died. They starved. And then an old lady went to him, this young boy named Atangarak, and lived with him beyond to the hills, to the very end of the hills on during the sloping side near the river. These hills, they have a slant where there's they slope on both sides like a tip, and then there's a sloping, gentle slope on one side. Then they went over beyond them to the river. The old lady took him to that area by the river. Then I know of this river, and he said the names of the rivers, but I don't know them. Then this old lady took him to that area and stayed with him. Then she hunted with him. They hunted all the squaw ducks. They would snare them. The old lady and the grandchild, they lived, made their living. Then that river, when the river iced over, and also the ocean, then they would, tomorrow morning, they would pack things and leave the area. She took her bag, and the old lady in the morning fixed her belt nicely and left, leaving him. Then he took two pieces of grass and put them together and tied them from the land. She made the land shorter, and then she took just a couple of steps, and she was near the edge of the ocean. She made the distance shorter, because she did this by tying together two pieces of grass. And she just lay up.
And when he entered an area where there was light, they hadn't caught five whales yet. When he entered, there were these people. He didn't know them. They didn't even greet him. So finally, the lady of the woman, her ear was, she bent her ear and told him that he wanted to eat. And she told him that he could go look for some food out in the porch. And she didn't even look at him. And so he took his little pack and filled it with muktuk and some meat, and then headed home. And when he reached the place, he gave it to his niece and brought it in, and he didn't empty his little pack. And so he made a cellar by making their little porch bigger. And when he emptied his his little pack. Therefore, there was a whale that he was carrying in the bottom of the pack. And so they looked like this. And finally, she could hardly move around. And so, like her uncle, aunt, she gathered food, tied up the grass, and made the wall shorter. When she arrived to that village, she met this lady who was feeding people. And that lady didn't say anything. She bent her ear so she could listen. And so she told her that there was something dried in the porch. And she told and so she got a hold of the dried meat. And the lady said, go ahead and get some food from the tree stands and from the porch. Enough for you. And so she filled it with her pack with food, just enough, and finally she went home. And when she arrived home, she emptied her pack. Boy, she really carried a large portion of the whale. And so her aunt and when the boy grew up, he finally went to Point Hope, and from then on when he went into Point Hope, he had a partner, a poor partner. And so therefore, a long time ago, these artifacts, they left behind, and wherever they went, and they just leave their artifacts where they have left that area. And so, why is it these game wardens are trying to stop the whale hunting? Because the whales, even if they were killed, as much as they wanted to, they will never be obliterated. In Bell, in Point Hope, they hunt for whales. And these are the areas that are always the target. This is all I have to say. My name is Ariyagiyak Atangarak. Let me say something. I'm Angasak. The ones that have talked before, I will never oppose them. And they would like to know. Speak for artifacts, weapons under the house. And the people who had left these weapons under the house, how I don't know anything about the artifacts that are under the houses because I have no knowledge of them. But there are people who do know, and they are from this audience. The ones that they have found under the house, they're already spread out, or they have bags. Have they found these type of things under the house?